You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Grizzlies. I'm your host, Mark King. As always, also the assistant editor at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. You can find all my work there. I cover the Grizzlies for them. I was in the game last night. The Grizzlies won again. They have four in a row now. They are 11-5. They're technically tied for first in the Western Conference, and they keep doing exactly what they have said they're going to do: play good defense. And at times last night, it was stifling. So we'll talk about the game last night, and then we'll actually hear from some players and JB Bickerstaff last night. I was there to get some sounds. So we'll hear those. We'll talk about those as well. Some interesting comments from some of the players after the game. We'll get all into that. But let's first talk about this game. They did a lot of things that they always do. And for the first three quarters of the game, it was really just a very back and forth. I mean, they were doing a lot of things. You know, the Mavericks are missing a lot of open looks. Something that it seems like a lot of their teams are doing. But I don't think that it is I'm not sure if it's a system thing I can't tell if it's a system thing yet, if they're shooting bad threes or a lot of teams are just missing open looks. They could be missing open looks coming from the fact that they have to work so hard on other spots, you know, in other spots against that defense that causes them to tighten up. I've seen someone say that, you know, that's possible, that the Grizzlies make these other teams work so hard in other areas of the floor that make them so uncomfortable in defense that it makes them tighten up and miss shots from three. I don't know. Luka Doncic was like 3 from 12 at halftime, ended up being 6 for 20. Harrison Barnes 3 for 14. So really did a really nice job on those guys. Luka Doncic ended up with 15 points, but that was mostly in the second half. He, the first half, they really, really shut him down, as well as Harrison Barnes. Those guys combined for only 4 3-pointers together. The Dallas Mavericks as a whole only shot 10 for 32, 31% that last night. Really did a good job, just all around on defense. Jaren Jackson Jr. played 11 minutes the first quarter. He came out for just a minute and then went back in all the way up until the 7 or 6 minute mark in the second quarter. So played a lot in the first half. He actually had more first half minutes than Marcus Gasol. And he looked really good in the first half. Ended up playing DeAndre Jordan really well. They actually put DeAndre Jordan on Jaren Jackson on defense instead of DeAndre Jordan on Marcus Gasol, which was interesting. Which led to a couple early looks for Jaren Jackson on three. They didn't go down, but he still, at least he took the shots, and that's what you want to see. So, I don't know if he would outplayed him, but he definitely played him well, especially in the offensive end. He put DeAndre Jordan in a spin cycle at one point on the baseline. It was really nice. He looks good. And then after the first half, he really just kind of went. I think I would say he didn't necessarily go away, but the Grizzlies went away from what they were doing with him. They had, in the first quarter, were getting him the ball in the low post as soon as he was setting up, like we talked about before. As soon as he was setting up, they're getting him in the low post. So that was really impressive to see that they were getting the ball, and he was actually, you know, taking advantage of that. And then they kind of went away from that. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm not sure why they went away from him, but the Grizzlies ended up being 12 from 30 from 3, 40%, because mostly Mike Conley hit 7 of them. Mike Conley was amazing last night. 7-11 from 3, 10 for 18 from the field, hit a free throw, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 28 points, just really, really well. Marc Gasol, just another, easy going night for him. 17 points, 15 rebounds. No big deal. Didn't hit any threes last night. He took five, but didn't hit any threes. And that would have been a difference maker for him. He had four assists as well, a steal, four block shots. Jaren Jackson had four block shots. Kyle Anderson had two block shots. Just a ho-hum Marcus all night. 17 points, 16 rebounds, or 15 rebounds. Something that he's doing incredibly well. He's rebounding at a rate that he's never done before in his career. I think he's up to 9.8 rebounds a game, which is just really impressive. And it's something that they really, really need. And Kyle Anderson, again, 8 points, not a whole lot of points, but just did a lot of other things on the floor. Played really, really good defense, especially late in the game against Harrison Barnes, Luka Doncic. Five assists, four rebounds, two steals, two block shots. Actually took a three-pointer, had this sequence where he took a three-pointer, missed badly, and got a steal right away, then dunked it. And I was like, man, that seems reminds me of a certain someone that we have seen so many times do that. Jamaica Green was good. Jamaica Green was 12 points, 9 rebounds, block shot, 2 assists in only 15 minutes. I mean, you can't ask much more than Jamaica Green. That's something that is really impressive. Beyond Jamaica Green for the off the bench, Wayne Selden, Shelvin Mack, Marshawn Brooks, not great. Wayne Selden was the best of the bunch. He had, at least he's the only one that didn't have in the plus minus, didn't have a minus number. Yeah, it was plus two, but still, it didn't look great. Marshawn Brooks continued to shoot you out of games. He was 1 for 6 last night. I'm not sure what Marshawn Brooks gives you at this point. He's not a good player. I think at this point he's almost hurting you more than he's helping you putting him in the game. He only had 11 minutes, but he was minus six. I don't know what he's doing out there. I'm not sure he knows what he's doing out there sometimes. And so, who could have ever imagined that someone who played 7 games last year and spent the last 4 years in China is not very good at basketball. But that's the reality that we're in. I'm not sure he helps you really playing him anymore. But they'll continue to play him because they just don't have a lot of players. So they'll continue to play him. They'll continue to do that. Jamaica Green, we talked about him. Shelvin Mack was only had 3 points, but had a key three-pointer late in the game. That was like his only shot, or his only three-pointer shot he made. He only took 3 shots, but him and Garrett Temple hit some crucial three-pointers at the end of the game. Both, I believe, set up by Mike Conley assist. Just really good. I mean, those guys are good when you need them, especially Garrett Temple and Kyle Anderson down the stretch on defense. That lineup of Kyle Anderson, Temple, Gasol, Conley, Mack, that seems like JB's go-to lineup at the end of the games now. And it's good. They're able to switch things. They're able to do a lot of things on defense that they weren't able to do before. And, especially with Jaren Jackson and Garrett Temple talking a lot. Jaren Jackson, Kyle Anderson, Garrett Temple talking a lot, being able to switch those matchups with Barnes and Doncic. I mean, that's something that, just really haven't really had before. And so it creates a lot of turnovers, a lot of deflections, a lot of steals, lead to easy, hopefully easy buckets. If not, gets the ball back in another extra possession to get more points. So, the Grizzlies, continue to do what they do. They continue to hang their head on defense. There were times where their offense just kind of stalled and that's going to happen, but they continue to hang their hat on defense, and shout out to them. I mean, 11-5. I mean, I don't think anybody thought they were going to be at this point, at this one of the seasons. I don't think anybody thought they were going to be here, but they are, and so they continue to play good defense, and hopefully they get enough offense to win those games. And so far, as we've talked about, as long as Mike and Mark are doing those things, then as long as they're playing like they're playing now, they're gonna win a lot more than they lose. That's just how good they are, and that's how good they make this team. So a lot of individual role players, like Jamaica Green, they really miss Jamaica Green's offense. It's not a lot of offense, and it's not a lot of rebounds. He had 9 rebounds last night, but I mean, he's not going out and just going getting you 15 rebounds. It's not like he's making just gaudy numbers, but those little things that he did there. That's what they missed. And it's just that little bit of offense, that little bit of extra rebounding off the bench is really something that the Grizzlies really, really missed while he was out. And they have that back now. And so that's hopefully will improve. You know, they'll continue to improve throughout the season. So they're still missing a few people. I mean, Dylan Brooks gets back and have an extra playmaker scorer off the bench. That would be a huge impact. You know, and the crazy thing about that is we say all that and they're still winning basketball games even after the fact that Jamaica Green has been out and Dylan Brooks is now out, and all things considered, they're still winning basketball games. And so that's the one thing that's probably the most impressive to me. But the Grizzlies get another win, 11-5 now in the season, first in the Western Conference. We'll talk more about this game and hear from the players after the game, after the break. Welcome back to the show. Let's go right into it. We're going to talk, or we're going to listen to JB's press conference.
You know, it's something at this point we're not really paying attention to. We're worried about what we're doing and how we can continue to get better. You'll start to see that stuff after the All-Star break and see what's going on. But right now our main concern is improving. You know, I think for our guys to come in here on a back-to-back, there's always those built-in excuses. And for us to hold them to 14 points in the fourth quarter says a lot about our group of guys. You know, you could be tired, you could be worn out, no legs, you know, all that. But our guys stepped up and defended. I mean, that's special to see a group of guys coming together and bonding with one another over the defensive end of the floor. You know, everybody likes to score, get assists, get points. But guys that truly bond on the defensive end of the floor is special. And it's fun to be a part of.
Well, it's not an example of what you want to see this offense accomplish in the last 6 minutes of the fourth. They really seem to do a good job of getting open looks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last 6 minutes of the game, fourth quarter, we played a ton through Mike and Mark. You know, we see what decisions the defense wants to make. And excuse me, and then we surround them with guys that can make plays. So if you want to leave one of those guys open, we trust those guys are going to be able to make a play. You know, whether it was Shelvin with the big three, you know, Kyle gets the steal and the finish, Garrett, you know, makes shots from the corner. So we're going to put pressure on people with that lineup. And, you know, again, those two guys are our trigger, and teams have to make a decision. They play so well with one another. You know, thinking about that back door, you know, how many times have they seen that play? You know, but the two of those guys, just before it even happens, you know, they see and they already know, ball moves, boom, boom, you know, Mike walks in for a layup. So you know, that's who we are. You know, again, we're getting better. We're working at it. We're not finished yet. But we're heading in the right direction.
Jamie, this has been the best.
I mean, we've talked to all our guys about rebounding, how important it is to us. And, you know, it's just him putting more on his shoulders because he knows it's what we need to do. And, I mean, tonight he had 15 defensive rebounds, I think. Like, you know, against, you know, some big athletic guys in there. It wasn't like, you know, he was overpowering them with size. You know, that's grit. That's toughness. You know, that's the desire to help this basketball team be as good as we possibly can. And taking that burden on over and over again, every possession, you know, is a fight. And he's all in. It's fun to watch him.
JB, you guys, I think, held them scoreless for about a four-minute stretch, went on that 10-0 run midway through the fourth quarter. What are the huddles like when you guys get into those moments? Because it seems like there's more and more confidence from these guys when they face that adversity late in games.
I mean, there's just conversation. You know, you can see guys are talking to one another, and they're just figuring things out. You know, you get some groups of guys who people feel like it's a, you know, a blame game if you're talking to them, if you're critiquing them. These guys just get in a huddle, and they're trying to figure it out. You know, it's an open conversation, an open dialogue of guys just trying to get the job done. You know, there's no, you know, no one has any ill intent. No one's harboring any, you know, bad feelings. It's, hey, you made a mistake here. This is how we correct that mistake. This is what they're doing. This is how we're going to, you know, how we're going to defend it. So when we get out on the court, there are no mistakes.
Coach, second game back with Jermichael. Can you kind of talk about what he adds back to the lineup?
I mean, a ferociousness. You know, a guy 15 minutes ends up with 12 points, 9 rebounds. You know, again, tough interior defender, the ability to space the floor, the ability to switch, you know, different coverages and pick and roll and guard different matchups. So he adds a versatility to our group. He's a competitor, you know, and it's whatever it is the team needs to do, he's going to go out there and just give it his all in order to help the team.
That was JB talking about mostly defense, and something that I something that he talked about several times. He answered one more question after that recording, and what he said was that he had never, you know, it's just such a fun or joy to coach these guys who are all bought in on defense. Something that a lot of the players talked about in the locker room, that they really had never been with a team that. All the players out there really want to be good at defense. You know, they are all bought in, every single one from 1 through 5. So that's something that you know, JB talked about. He said it several times, that how much fun it is to coach guys that are really just bought in. And so you know, that's something that's for the Grizzlies is good to note, that not only are these guys bought in, but they want to be elite defenders. And so that's just something that goes along with what they've been saying since summer, and something they've continued to do. So, but let's hear from Garrett Temple.
4 minutes. What was the finish of that game like? It
was great, man. It just shows that we know what we want to do defensively. We forced them into shots we wanted them to take. As a team, guys were in the right spots. You know, defense wins games for us and wins championships in this league. So we want to be, again, that unique team. You see all these high scoring games that holds teams to under 90 points and grinds out wins.
What is it like mentally, though, for that, for your group to get together and win the games, knowing you have the confidence that you've done it before?
Yeah, I mean, we've had games, you know, close games that we've been able to win lately. So it feels good, whether it's on the road or at home. We've done it before, and we know what it takes. And again, like I said, we just make sure we stick to our principles on the defensive end. Offensively, Mike was real big for us, obviously. Mark was real big for us. But defensively is when we're going to win games, and we just stick to our principles.
Are you and Kyle doing something specific on defense to make it harder for their wings to score at the end of those games with you guys out there?
Nah, nothing different. You know, it was something we talked about early on before the game. We wanted to stop Doncic and Harrison Barnes. They were the guys averaging around 20 a game for him, or 20 plus during the stretch that they've had. So that was the focal point. That was the focus for us. And, you know, if we won that matchup, we got him to be inefficient, we were going to have a chance to win, and that's what happened.
Do you guys, I know Jamie talks about all the time, showing your hands, you know, defensively. Does that help you to be in better positions?
Unless you get picks, like Kyle and Jaren. Yeah, it definitely helps, you know, hearing the coaches on the sideline. The coaches on the sideline do a great job, especially when we have the defensive side of the ball in the fourth quarter and they're there to talk to us, talk us through plays. You know, JB telling us what's coming, whatever coach, scout that is, telling us what's coming and letting us know to remind us that they're calling ticky-tack fouls now. They're calling close right now, so we got to be smart and don't give up any free throws.
JB spent a lot of time talking about how much joy he has coaching this team, because you guys really seem to accept defense and thrive on it and love it. Is that your experience with this group, that they love defense more than
you? Yeah, no question. I mean, me and Kyle got hype, extra hype. It wasn't over his dunk. It was over the fact that he, you know, got the pick right after he, you know, missed that three in the corner. He was able to totally redeem himself.
That was Gary Temple. Let's hear from Marcus Hall.
Fourth quarter, scored that 10-0 run with 4 minutes left. Who was that?
Well, this is, you know, score easily. We had to do it, you know, the way we know how to do it. Defensively, I thought we did a pretty good job for the most part in the fourth quarter of you know, keeping them on one side of the floor. And after that, rotating, doing multiple efforts, and finishing possessions with rebounds. So I thought that we did a pretty good job in the fourth quarter of, you know, after back-to-back, it's not easy, so we did a good job.
It seemed like they guarded you and Jaren a little bit differently to start the game than most teams have, put DeAndre on Jaren and smaller guys on you. Did that sort of change the kind of touches that you guys were getting?
Yeah, what they wanted me to do is rolling to DJ, you know, keeping the small guy, trying to take the three away and give me like different looks. and if I rolled, I would roll right into the center. They did a little bit of that, not that extreme, but they've done that before. So we're going to have to figure out the spacing, how we want to attack that, and where the outlet's going to be once the ball gets into the paint, especially after the roll. Like, if I get in that pocket, you know, what are the reads and what is the spacing like?
With the way you've been shooting the three and as precocious as Jared has been down on the block, you think other teams may sort of follow suit with that a little bit?
Yeah, but I'm not too concerned about it. Like, you know, it's a trigger for us anyways. Like, if they want to do that, you know that we're going to figure out ways how to still, you know, be aggressive and not just fall in love. We're just floating out there and try to get to the post, try to get the ball from the middle of the floor instead of the side, where they can bring the low man and kind of corral you and crowd you in that paint. So we're going to figure out ways to do it. But we got to do it with pace. We got to do it faster. And so it's not a, you know, it's that slow.
That was Marcus. So let's let's listen to Mike Conley for the last one.
I hope you didn't think I was going to shoot like 10% for the rest of the year. I didn't think that was a thing. So just happy, you know, my teammates have stuck with me through it all. And it's been obviously challenging coming back and trying to get into game shape. And I think over the last few weeks, it's slowly starting to come around. And you know, my coaches and teammates have done a great job of just trying to get me going. And tonight was a, you know, it all came together.
What happened toward in the last 5 minutes that led to the big burst? Those final 5 minutes?
You know, I really think we fed off of our defensive, you know, intensity thing. The plays we were making, the rebounds we were getting, the timely decisions we were making. You know, it builds and builds, and you know, at some point during the game, you beat on somebody enough, you know, it causes, you find the cracks. And I think that we did enough of that all game long to where in the fourth quarter we were able to kind of find different advantages in the offense and close out the game.
Good to see how guys responded on a back-to-back like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm very proud of the way we responded. I mean, I'm proud of how Mark responded, how I responded. We played 35 minutes last night and came in, played a team that's been waiting on us, you know, for 24 hours. So for us to get a win like this was huge for us, just knowing that we can do it, giving us confidence that we can come in and beat anybody on back-to-backs.
Mike, is it too early to puff your chest a little bit about being tied for first in the Western Conference standings?
No, man. You too, GC. No, we're not worried about it at all, man. We're worried about where we're going to be at in April, May, you know, right now. So it's a good start. Like I always say, we still have a very long way to go. Guys are just, you know, the guys we brought in on this team are worried about the day-to-day, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
What makes you believe that?
That's it for post-game sound for the Grizzlies. If you want to hear, there's a few more, Shelvin Mack and a few more players. If you want to listen to all that post-game sound, I was at the game last night covering for Grizzly Bear Blue, so you can look up their Twitter handle at SBN Grizzlies, and you can find all those videos over there if you're interested in watching or hearing any other of the post-game sound. But coming up next, the Grizzlies might sign another player for the 15 roster spot. We'll talk about if it's a good deal or not. Welcome back to the show. The Grizzlies again went out and won against the Mavericks last night, 11-5 now, and first place or tied for first within the Western Conference. So, but the Grizzlies think they needed a 15th player. There was a report yesterday that came out that they might be signing Joakim Noah, the big man that has not played throughout last year. Last time he played was in the 2016-17 season, and he boasted a 21.1% total rebounding percentage. If you're interested, that would be good for a second on the roster behind on this team. You know, do the Grizzlies really need Joakim Noah? You know, I'm not so sure. I understand the concept of what they're trying to do, but I think if you with the minutes available, and if you, you know, if you sign Joakim Noah, I think yes. Does it make Jamaica Green more expendable? Probably so, because he does a lot of what Jamaica already does. A lot of rebounding. I mean, his offense isn't what Jamaica Green's is. So I'd say, does he make JaMychal expendable? I guess maybe, you know, in the rebounding category, sure. But what JaMychal Green gives you offensively, especially from the three this year, I think is something that Joakim Noah cannot do. And so, you know, there's a lot of, I'm not even sure if there's a lot of minutes left. You know, you're looking at a guy maybe 10, 15 minutes a game if he does play. You know, we're talking about the 15th roster spot. So I'm not sure, it could very well be they sign him, he sits on the bench at the end of the bench and does nothing, you know, on a non-guaranteed deal, but, you know, for our vet minimum. So the idea, I think, of Joakim Noah is interesting, to say the least. I mean, if you call it a backup, you know, insurance because they need a backup big, what happens if JaMychal Green and Marc Gasol get hurt for an extended period, or excuse me, JaMychal Green or Jaren Jackson, Marc Gasol get hurt for an extended period of time, and you need an extra big? Well, JaMychal Green was hurt for an extended period of time, and they need a backup big, and that's when they should have gotten a backup big, not now. JaMychal Green's back. If Marc Gasol gets hurt, or if Jaren Jackson gets hurt, especially if Marc Gasol gets hurt, you're going to be terrible no matter what. Going out and having Joakim Noah on your roster isn't going to change the fact that you have no Marc Gasol, and you're going to be awful. Just like last year, you had no Mike Conley, and you were awful right after he went down. You went down with him very, very quickly. So the idea of having insurance beyond Marc Gasol is it's just not true. I mean, you know, like, if you do want to have that extra player, well, then deal with that whenever it comes time to deal with it. Deal with not having Marc Gasol when Marc Gasol actually gets injured. Because Joakim Noah is still going to be sitting out there waiting to play. You know, or if not him, there's going to be another player like him sitting out there waiting to play. So if you are afraid if you are getting Joakim Noah because you want to possibly have backup insurance because of potential injury, then go do that when they get injured. Not now. The Grizzlies need scoring right now. They need rebounding too, but the bigger of the two evils here, they need scoring on the wing. They need guys on the second unit on the bench that can score the basketball. And Joakim Noah is not that guy. I'm sorry. And so for me, I'm a no. I'm a no on Joakim Noah. I don't know how he really helps you other than rebounding. And do they need rebounding? Absolutely. But it's not so apparent that, I mean, just take for example, let's look at the rebounding last night, for example. They got out-rebounded. Actually, take that back. No, they out-rebounded the Mavs by 2, 45 to 43. The other game, last game they had, they out-rebounded by like 5. It's not so just egregious right now that you're losing basketball games because of it. So do they need more rebounding? Absolutely. But I think that also comes back when, now that JaMychal Green is back, that shores up that part of rebounding. And what JaMychal Green can give you on the offensive end, shooting threes and actually scoring the basketball, really, it's going to outweigh what Joakim Noah can give you rebounding and defensively or passing, the things he's good at. It will massively outweigh that. So I'm a firm no on Joakim Noah. We'll see. It's not official yet, but it was reported by several people. Mainly Chris Harrington talked about it a few weeks ago on Twitter, but Mark Stein put it out yesterday that said that they are in the very deep in discussion talks of signing Joakim Noah. So we'll see. I don't think it's a good idea. I think they need to go after someone that actually gives you, or could in theory give you, bench scoring, wing depth. I think that's what they really need right now as a basketball team. But anyway, that's it for the show today. Make sure you check out the show tomorrow. We're going to do another rankings update, as always, on Wednesdays in the middle segment. We will talk with the Spurs writer to get ready for the Spurs game, because the Grizzlies are right back at it on the road at their Spurs. And make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. You can follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you let me know if you like the show. Let me know if you hate the show. It will be fun either way. Again, tomorrow we'll do a rankings update in the middle of the show, and we will talk with a Spurs writer. Hopefully a good friend of mine will come on the show, and we'll get that recorded and have that conversation for you guys tomorrow. But I'm Mark Kane. Again, find me online at King_producer. If you'd like to be a feature sponsor on the show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockedongrizzlies.com.